This is the Rancho Cordova, I'm sorry, Rancho Marietta Community Service District, a special board meeting April 1st, April Fools, at 2 o'clock. So we'll begin. Amelia, would you do roll call, please?
Yes, Director Mabee.
Here, here.
Director Merchant. We'll come back. Director Janko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Merchant. Director Pohl.
Here.
I see Director Merchant. Oh, he's chatting with me, maybe.
There we go. Can you hear me now?
Hi. Hi. Welcome, Director just Merchant.
Just like the cellular commercial.
Okay. Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. I got it figured out now.
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the agenda. Do I have a second?
I'll second it, Tim.
Roll call vote, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Item number three, public comment. Due to the fact that it's a special board meeting, public comments will be limited to the specific agendized item. Amelia, do you have any hands or chats?
I do not have any. Let me double check. Let me get over there. I do not have any hands. I do not have any chats.
Excellent. Thank you. Item number four. This will be a review of the fiscal year 2021 to 2022. This is a draft budget. The presentation will be by staff. Just as a side note, I'm on my cell phone, so if I cut out, please do not wait for me. Just have the board, Vice President, Director Janko, finish the rest of the meeting if that happens. But with that being said, 4A, a presentation of the draft budget, Tom.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you for allowing us to have a special board meeting to meet our budget reporting requirements under Prop 218. Today's budget will be pretty similar to what it's been in the past. It's just changes in how we collect funds and what we're doing with various items. Excuse me, I had to close my door. So let's go start on how we're going to go through this process. We're going to review the 2021 proposed budget. We're going to talk about the budget process. We'll review the sample bill. We'll discuss the budget drivers and assumptions. And then the proposed rates are handled on the sample bill. This is, I guess I should have removed that bullet. And then we'll request a motion to allow us to mail the Prop 218 notice. Amelia, would you go to the budget schedule slide? I believe that was slide number two.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so for those of you who haven't been through this process before, as a special district, we're required to notice all of our ratepayers a minimum of 45 days prior to the first reading of the budget. So that's today's special board meeting. Either tomorrow or Saturday, our Prop 218 notices will be mailed to all the property owners within the Rancho Marietta Community Services District. Next week on April 6th, that's Tuesday, as part of the Finance Committee, we'll review the budget and get into some of the details that people have had a chance to kind of roll through. And then in mid-April, we're going to want to schedule a budget workshop. And the degree of participation will depend upon the degree of need or the degree of, public input or director required changes. And, you know, we may also come across some information from like solid waste or the county or something where we might need to change some of the numbers.
Tom, yeah. Excuse me, if I can just for a little clarification there. For the public to have questions or to bring it to our attention, the Prop 218 is very specific on this, and this is written correspondence, the old-fashioned way. it's how the legislation was developed. And so until it changes, we're obligated to function under that process, if you will. So again, it's one of those, and instructions are all put in there, but it is a procedural process that the district has to follow because of Prop 218, and that is all of the concerns or items of that nature are official correspondence to the district. I'm sorry, Tom, you were probably going to cover that. So,
no, you know, that's a really good point, because you know, we've been getting a cry for the past couple of years for people to be able to email in or and Twitter in or stuff like that. But we follow the law, which is written correspondence, as you said, and that is outlined in the first opening paragraph of the Prop 218 notice. It has our address and so on and so forth in the rules. So getting back to the schedule, May 4th, we have another finance committee meeting, and hopefully by then we're really able to hone in on what the budget's going to end up being. If necessary, we'll schedule another budget workshop the second week of May. It may or may not be necessary. And then on May 19th at the regular board meeting, we have a budget hearing, and we introduce the resolution to approve the proposed budget. And this is deemed the first reading. At that time, we introduce the ordinance that will eventually be completed or modified and approved to be posted in our website under the rate increases. And then if something needs to happen between May 19th and June 16th, we can have a meeting, we can do what we need to do to meet the requirements. And June 16th would be the final budget hearing of the second reading of the budget at a regular board meeting. And then that's the formal adoption of the rate increases and changes in the budget. And then July 1, the rate increases go into effect. Okay. So go down to page
3. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready for 3.
I've got an itchy mouse finger over here, Tom. I'm sorry.
Okay, we've already gone over this order of discussion. And then let's go to slide 4. So this is our process, and this is a process of most special districts. Every year, Rancho Murrieta Community Services District, we do a rate increase review, survey, what you want to call it, and we go to the property owners every year with the new rate increase work. A lot of districts have gone to 3 and 5 year rate studies. It's a lot better use of staff time, but and it's something we may try to get to. I think I mentioned this last year, and obviously we haven't gotten to it yet. And so this is 47 days, 48 days before the budget hearing. And then on May 19th, and by Saturday, it becomes 46 days. And then the public hearing on the 19th, and then the formal rate adoption meeting on the 16th. So next slide, please. So the May 19th public hearing is conducted where the public is invited to address the board about the budget. And we'll mail the notice after today's meeting, and the final budget will become effective July 1st. It looks like a redundant slide. I apologize for that. Next slide, please. During the period between May and May, we will monitor potential cost savings. We will also monitor the fact that our solid waste contract may even go up more, or our insurance rate might increase, or SMUD may change their mind and increase more than they had said earlier. And then we received last week the preliminary reserve study that was initiated a couple months ago. And it has some pretty hefty numbers, which are going to be discussed a little bit later, as to where we need to get with reserves, which happened to be the board's number one priority. So we're focusing on that. And then we will continue to try to minimize potential rate increases while trying to maintain the level of service, both for security and operations and to our staff and to the residents through the proper billing process and stuff. Next slide, please.
And would you like to take questions as they come up, Tom, or shall I hold them till the end of your presentation?
My preference. Tom, my preference is go through what you have laid out. And before we get into the next subject matter within, then we take questions at that point. But I would prefer, and again, I'll open this up to the rest of the board members, for it to flow where you get what you need to get presented.
Okay.
And then when there's a natural break, that's when, we'll take questions. If I don't hear anything different from the board, then that'll be the process. Thank you.
Okay, so we always start with the sample bill because this is where the money hits the road. And what we have here is we're estimating, again, this cubic feet in water is designed for people to hit a conservation level of 1,426 cubic feet of water every month. And at the rate that we're proposing, we're increasing the rate for the residential water, or for the water meter, increasing that 2% from $37.97, I got to put my glasses back on, to $38.73 or 76 cents. And you'll see this again below, but the reserve contribution is being recommended to be increased by 80% from $7.75, which has been where it has been stabilized over the past 3 or 4 years, to $14. And we'll talk about that more later. And we're also recommending that we put in a pretty significant increase in the water usage rate. And as you may be aware, the state of California is meeting today with some water authority, water boards, to talk about planning for the drought. Because if you're paying attention, it's starting to look like this continual drought is going to go on for at least a couple more years. And we may be forced into doing some drought measures internally. And so to begin with, we felt it was a good incentive if people are trying to save a little bit of money to increase the rate for water more than we increase the rate for the water meter and allow people to try and save a little bit of money by conserving. Then the water treatment debt service, it's the interfund borrowing that belongs to every home that was here in Rancho Marietta at the time of the water treatment plant upgrade. The homes that have been built since, for instance, the 78 Murrieta Gardens too, they do not pay this fee because they pay the water treatment plant upgrade purposes funds through the Mellor Ruse bond that gets attached to their property tax bill every year. And then for sewer, which is pretty underfunded last year, we're recommending that the rates be increased 14.6% from $42.77 to $49.01. The reason for the large increase in sewer was that after the cost allocation plan that was produced last year and implemented through the budget process was done after the Prop 218 notice. And so we weren't able to get in front of that. So sewer ended up being well underfunded last year to the tune of, I think, $188,000 on the budget side. And so we need to make that up because that's exactly why we have Prop 218, which requires agencies such as ourselves to only charge the fee that it costs to run the operation. So the water budget is designed to pay for the provision of the water, the sewer budget for the provision of dealing with wastewater. And then we match the reserve contribution for sewer with water at $14. And there's a slide to talk about what these increases in the reserve contributions are going to provide that help the future of the district. The solid waste can, this is our very large increase. We've heard this was coming. Jack Fiore had told us over the past couple of years, get ready for a big increase. And then you throw in what happened with COVID and all the loss of their business revenue. Their calculations have their increase of for 64 gallon container of being from $22.81 to $27.82 or $5.01 or 22%. And that's a pass-through. We collect a little bit of administrative fee for doing that, but it's like 99% pass-through to pay for our trash pickup, which by the time we get to the May hearing, we will provide the surveys that we show where we're above average, below average, in the middle, so on and so forth. And then the security and drainage fees are being raised, the maximum they can be raised, and those budgets still run at a deficit. Next slide, please. And again, this is for the homes behind the gates. And the next slide is for the village and Murrieta Gardens too. Again, the residential base for water increases 2%. And then the contribution for reserve goes up the same amount to $14. And then the water use, the rate for using water goes up the same from 19 cents per cubic foot to 0.023 or 2.3 cents per cubic foot. And so that's a 20.4% increase for a total water increase of 16.1%. And then for those who pay the village people, most the village homes pay for the water treatment plant debt service, the interfund borrowing, and the gardens too do not. And then we're proposing to increase the base rate for sewer. I've already talked about why that has to be so large this year. And then the reserve contribution is the same. And there's the reserve contribution goes to, in this case, it goes to all of our infrastructure. And then the solid waste, we look through the village and the gardens, and the majority of those homes are starting to use the 38-gallon container. So to be more realistic, we listed that 38-gallon container there, and that's their increase in their garbage pickup. And then the security and drainage tax are a lot less than what they are for the homes behind the gate, because the village and the Murrieta Garden 2 homes do not pay for gate services, so their security fees are a lot less. And then we have some increases for security for tax for vacant lots and standby, that the water standby, the sewer standby, that remains unchanged. And the drainage tax for the vacant lots and unmetered properties goes up from 5.22 to 5.32. Next slide, please. So some of the budget drivers for revenue, our revenue consumption is projected to decrease slightly over calendar year 2021 demands. We just believe that as time goes on, people will start using less water. We're proposing that the county tax projection is around $30,000. We will get a notice from the county in the next few weeks if they're continuing to do what they did last year. That will give us a better idea of what the potential tax rate is going to be going into next year. And then we propose the increase of 2% for residential drainage and security again. And security and drainage again are supplemented with the transfer of property taxes in pretty similar amounts as last year. Next slide, please. Other drivers are staffing. And so our general wages overall are increasing 7.3% from the original budgeted amount of last year. And it talked about that a little bit, but mainly it's in large part because we are starting to retain some of our represented staff longer. And it's evidenced by the fact that we entered into a new contract, a three-year contract, allowing them 3.5% increases over the next 3 years, which is good because we need to keep our quality staff. We need to keep all our staff. And then a 30% pay for performance pool for unrepresented staff, that's pretty standard. We're recommending to keep the OPEB trust, which is the retiree health trust contribution at $150,000. And that's been something that's been in place consistently for the past 2 years. We're expecting the medical premiums to increase another 10%. Last year, I think the increase ended up being 7%. And then the staffing costs reflect new retirees and new hires. So we track them as people retire out and when they get hired. Next slide, please. So there's the comment about the represented staff receiving the increase. And then we have the CalPERS retirement unfunded liabilities increases. Not a whole lot in money change over the last 2 years, but that's where we're at. The classic 255 actually dropped a little bit from 27,000 to the 24,000. And the PEPRA went up slightly, I think from like $360 a month to 372. And then another slide. And some of the some of the significant increases you'll see is that we've we're estimating SMUD to be 7.25% more this year than last year, and they do their increases incrementally. We've increased our IT contract with Leap Ahead IT, and they're our managed services provider. And part of the main part of the increase is more secure storage of data, more secure networking, putting in added firewall protection, increased phishing software, increased infiltration software. So we're just trying to be cognizant of how bad it would be if our network were compromised by those people who trying to get Bitcoin out of you and stuff. We budgeted again $18,000 for the Regional Water Authority, $12,000 for the Sacramento Water Authority. The GSRMA liabilities and workers' comp has increased 7% this year. We're going to keep bringing in college interns or student interns to help us get our escrow files all scanned in and to help supplement full-time staff. And then there's a $35,000 general manager initiative. And if you're interested in how that money's been spent this year so far, it's mostly been spent on cameras. I used those funds to put the cameras up at Clement or Chesboro after we had the issues with the buoys being cut. And we also did some enhancements of the storage capacity for the North Gate. So that's what we're doing with those funds. Next slide, please. Other drivers, you see that routine maintenance and repair has gone up every single year. And a lot of that has to do with the sewer treatment plant facilities, the sewer facilities, and general repair of aging pipe infrastructure throughout the district. Pumps, electrical panels, and we're just trying to keep up with it. There's a lot of infrastructure out there that's aging quickly. Our workers' comp has increased by 5% or $7,000 of general liability, 8% or 15, and then there's the big one. The solid waste contract went up 30%, and then we're estimating the landfill surcharge to be at $1.35 from $1.30 last year. We're hoping that chemicals remain static. Paul's doing a really good job of getting good contracts for our chemicals. And so far, we haven't seen an estimate that the dam fees are going up. And then we're increasing consultant estimates to $70,000 due to a large majority of consulting funds. Last year, were shifted from operational budgets to reserves, and we're reversing that shift. And by the time we get to the May meeting, I'll be able to provide a list of what consulting contracts we think we're going to need to take care of in the year. And a lot of that has to do with things like water rights and the studies on for our waste permits and things like that that Paul manages. But it also may end up being consulting to help fill a request for a proposal for replacement of our ERP. And that's our finance system, which continues to give us big headaches, so on and so forth. So next slide, please. So I want to talk a little bit about reserves, because we did get the reserve study last week, and we did spend a bit of time on it over the past few days. And the reserve study, it's still, again, we got the preliminary report. We're going to have staff, myself, work on this quite a bit and try to tweak it to where it's legitimate that we can expect to be able to identify what we need in the form of reserve funds every year. But the estimated value is just under $40 million of all district infrastructure. That includes, you know, the parking lot here at the admin building. It includes the new water plant, the old water plant, lift stations and pipe, and the pipe under the ground at the village, and the pipe running, you know, the pipes running around for the new shopping center. All that adds up to about $40 million.
Oh.
And according to the preliminary reserve study, is we need to be spending about $1.4 million every year to meet with the demands of replacing our equipment. We are really going to take a hard look at that, because that's a big number. The number for the next fiscal year is well over 2 million, according to the study. I think it's close to 3. So I'm recommending an increase this year in reserves from the $775 and the $676 for sewer and the $6 for the interfund borrowing to for the sewer and water to be increased $275,000. And that's taking water to 14 and sewer to 14. The reserve study will be finalized between today and the May budget meeting. So we'll have a lot better story to tell about reserves by then. Next slide, please, Amelia. And then we're not proposing any staffing changes as far as positions right now, but we are, oh, I didn't update that slide. My fault. It's the same though. The 21-22 proposed staffing is still 7, 12 and a half and 17. And it will be, I'll fix that slide by the next time you see it. So next one, and that's it. Any questions and answers? And if you'd like, we can kind of roll through the budgets. The next 9 pages are the budget worksheets. Bill, you want to kind of go to the next one?
So, hold on, hold on 1 second. There, Tom. I want to make sure that since we've seen some preliminary numbers that people understand a few things, and part of this will be edification for Director Pohl. Last year, or the current fiscal cycle we're in, the board made a conscious decision, and it wasn't unanimous by any means, that because it's COVID, that the bill almost be reduced on average by $6. So we have to factor that into this 30 some odd dollar that we're seeing so that we can understand that $6 of it should have been put in last year, or not should have, but could have. So I just want people to understand that. Go ahead, Tom.
Amelia, would you mind going up to the slide about reserves? Because there's another thing I want to say that I missed.
There you go.
So I've said it over the past year and a half that when we have a chance to really close properly out the years where we really suffered to understand how to fix the financial systems, that we would go in and take what we're going to term, what do we call that? Retained revenues, and which at the end of each year, when we have revenue that we've collected that we didn't spend, it basically stays in our fund balance. The idea that a healthy city or a healthy government or district like ours, the idea is to take those retained revenues that were not spent and transfer those into the reserve accounts. And I believe over the, and that hasn't been done since a couple of years before I got here. So the process is not really consistent, and I'd like to get it to become really consistent. And it may involve going into the reserve policy. It may involve going into another one of our policies, whereby we require that at the close of the audit, when the determination is made that there's this many retained revenues, that this amount gets transferred into reserve accounts, be it restricted reserve accounts that are strictly designed to replace a sewer plant, or capital improvement accounts that are designed to allow the district to add infrastructure as we see it necessary. And I meant to put that on this slide. But that's work that we have on our radar. Our audit for the 19-20 year is wrapping up shortly, and we'll work with our auditor, Richardson and company, to help them, to have them help us put together the proper way to manage those transfers and to stay within the rules. So it's really, really important that as we really try to focus on the revenues for reserves, that we do that, stay focused and put as much into our reserve as possible, because these are some really big numbers that we have to worry about. So let's go back to the question and answer slide. Okay.
Are you ready to take a question from the public, Tom?
I am.
Hold off on the public just for a second. Board members, do you have any questions so far of the budget, the general manager?
This is Randy. I assume you said quite a few times that you're going to fine tune this reserve study. I kind of want to reserve my minutia questions until then, but just in the big picture, and rounding these numbers off, the value of our infrastructure is $40 million. How much do we have in reserves right now? And the increase of $275,000 a year brings us up to what number per year?
Okay. The for instance, we currently have, let me focus on water. Okay. There's $1.9 million in the water reserve right now. And the reserve contribution over the past few years has been $335,000. That's a $775,000. By going to $14, that number becomes $610,000. So we go from 335 to 610. So, and that's a better flow. The sewer reserve currently is bringing in 236, and upping it to $14 is that an increase? Let me hold off before I rattle off more numbers. I'm sorry, a little bit off guard. So yeah, the sewer reserve will go to 494, and I don't know why it's so different than water, so I'll have to look at that. But we go from collecting 519 when you add in the $6 to 794, an increase of $275,000. Does that answer your question, Randy?
Not really. Your numbers are hard to grasp in a conversation. Okay. I'm just trying to get the big picture here. 40, all of the value of what we own is $40 million. How much total is reserved against that $40 million?
6.2 million is, I think, the number right now.
All right, and we're making a total increase across the board of 275,000, or you're recommending a total increase of 275,000 a year. What does that bring our total reserve contribution for 1 year up to?
794,000.
Got it. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's with the $214 contributions and the $6 contribution. And I have to tell you, these numbers are pretty fresh because we really struggled with Great Plains again today to not burp on us. So I'm confident that the numbers are there. But right now, if we don't spend any reserve money, we'll go from 6.2 million in reserves to 7 million in reserves. But if we spend 2 million or more, that number drops down, to 5 million. So we're fighting a losing battle over the next few years. Once you see the study. But in addition to that, we have to go in and tweak the replacement cycles on certain things. And we also have to determine if we're really going to ever replace something. If at end of life, maybe it's gone and gets replaced with something else. So we need to spend some valuable time going through the reserve study in great detail because it's really a big number.
Tim, it's John, may I?
Yes, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I have some of the same questions that Randy was highlighting, and I agree that it's really difficult to do it without a spreadsheet or some numbers in front of you. I am happy to see that we have stepped out at least to acknowledge that we have to increase the funding on reserves. I think 80% to 100% is something as a board we have to look at and see what the impact will be. One of the other concerns that I've continually had is, and when you look historically at the average bill, that depending on the makeup of the board, we've had a different approach to whether or not we would increase that bill. And generally, what has suffered in the years where we have tried to minimize the increase has been the overall value of the reserves. So that's part of what I want to try and understand and wrestle with going forward. The other part is that if we come up with a specific plan, whether it be someplace between 80 and 100% of that 40 million in assets that we want to reserve against, I'd like to see if there's a way we could facilitate that going forward through the years. We could hold on to that so we're not historically in this fluctuation of whether or not reserves remain a priority. But I know it's a big bill, but I'm kind of happy to see that we're finally acknowledging it and we're finally moving forward on it.
John, I think your comments are correct. It's also one that I think at the committee level, I know Director Pohl has mentioned having a line item that's constant in our budget process. So I think as we move forward, even for this fiscal cycle, that at the committee level, you'll be able to come up with recommendations, and that's just how the budget's going to work moving forward. Director Pohl or Director Butler?
Yeah, I have some questions. Does this reserve amount that we're proposing include the transfer of retained excess earnings this year? Do you anticipate that?
Good question. My expectation is, as part of this reserve process, we will have the we'll be able to take a look at the last two or three audits and determine what our retained revenues were from year to year. And absolutely, the plan, my recommendation, is to move as much of those monies in directly into reserve accounts, where they, you know, most agencies would do that each year. They would take an amount that's left over and move it directly to reserves. So that's the plan, and it would be very transparent about what we're doing and for what type of reserve account it would go into. We would have the choice of putting it into restricted reserves or unrestricted reserves, or we could put it into capital improvement reserves. You may decide that you're going to put a certain amount of reserves of the retained revenues into security for an initiative you have there, into administration to help replace our Great Plains system with a proper accounting system, a proper billing system, or directly into sewer or drainage. You know, Laguna Joaquin is looming, so we're going to have to see what we're going to end up doing with that if in fact we do get an opportunity to perform maintenance on it this year or next year. Does that answer your question, Marty?
Yeah, I hope we do something like that. I would tend to agree with John that we have some wiggle room as to where we end up with how much funding we want in years out. And it might affect how much we need to put in every year.
And Director Pohl, again, my thought process is it would come from the Finance Committee up to the regular board. Director Butler, any questions so far?
Not so far.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead, Tom, please continue.
I guess now we're at the point where we see if there's any questions from the public. I see one hand raised. Richard, you're muted.
Okay. I had an original question. I think it's been answered, but I just have a kind of question how this process works. I came to this meeting, basically, I had no idea what numbers you come up with. And I don't know if I have any objections, but I'm wondering, how do you come up with numbers? Who is this purely you, Tom, sitting down and coming up with these numbers? I mean, I've been going to these meetings all along, and like I say, I came to this meeting, had no idea what the numbers were going to be. So I'm wondering who had input into this.
Well, the main drivers, it's a good question, and thank you for that. The main drivers are fixed expenditures, like salaries, like the cost of maintaining and processing drinking water and wastewater, delivering water throughout the district through a series of pumps and lift stations, and infrastructure with all the pipes. Our contract for the trash is it's a set contract every year, and we don't have anything to say about that. It's actually $878,000 estimated for next fiscal year. And you know, salaries drive it most everything. Salaries are a heavy driver for security, since they don't have a lot of infrastructure. They just mostly have salaries and expenditures. There are a few things that I put in there that I think we need to be aware of. And that's like every year we need to have consulting in one way, shape or form. A lot, most of it has to do with supporting Paul's operations. But, you know, as you see, we need to pay for reserve studies. We pay for salary surveys. We're probably going to pay someone to help us put together a request for proposal to replace our finance system. And the hope is that when we have a system that's designed for small government, that we aren't scrambling at the last minute to produce, you know, financial reports, and we can spend more of our time managing the systems of, you know, making sure the money's being spent in the right place and that our resources are correctly used. Not very much of this at all is a shot in the dark, Richard. I did come up with the numbers for the reserves. I want to make sure that it's clear that, you know, we did not make increases to water and sewer last year, and we have not increased our reserve contribution for as long, you know, I think 3 or 4 years. Do you have any more specifics, Richard?
No, I don't think so. You know, it's kind of shocking to see an increase of $26, but like you say, a lot of it's just stuff that increases, and the one special change is all that reserve, which is something we need to do. So it's a shock, but you know, maybe it's something that needs to be done. So but basically my question, so thank you.
Well, and a lot of the change you see from this year to last year to this year has to do with the COVID stuff. I mean, we literally had the smallest rate increase in years last year, and of course that results in this being one of the bigger rate increases we've had in years. And we were working on a chart where I could show you that. We just didn't get it completed today.
So, you're talking about comparative rate increases?
Yeah, from year to year. And you see some of that lately with all the attention paid to security, where I believe we produced a chart that showed when security, after measure K, the rates were actually not even maxed out, and then they were barely raised for a few years. Then somebody woke up one day and said, oh no, we don't have enough money to pay for security. And so the rate started hitting the max, and then the cost of security outpaces the max by quite a bit.
So this year, the average bill is increasing 18.6, and you're saying that's comparable to previous years?
No. I was saying if you take last year and this year and add the two together, it's probably comparable to certain years, but this is going to be one of the bigger rate increases that the district has seen in a long time.
Okay.
Not the largest.
Okay. Well, that's all I have. Thank you.
I have no other comments and no other chats.
I have one comment, Amelia. It's John, although that's Tim that has to okay that.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Just that we did, I have, and I have subject to me finding it, one of those very things that Richard asked for. I've done it in the past on my own, projected based on the average bill, what the increases were year by year. And they are radically different. For example, 2008, I remember specifically where the 218 went out at 20.5. And then we subsequent to that, to where we are today, we've had years where one was COVID and there were a couple others where there were virtually no increases. That was what I was commenting to before, is the radical up and downs of this that I would like to see us attempt to level out with a more intelligent approach to reserves. The other quick comment I had on solid waste, I passed it to Tom yesterday, but I went out and did an analysis on the county rates. And, you know, the county is essentially, because so much of solid waste is based on tipping fees at the landfill. A 30-gallon container at the county is $24.95. We were presently, for a 38-gallon, we were at $19.73. So that was a significant savings. The county's projection is to go up almost exactly the same as ours. And their years are out of sync with ours, but a 30-gallon can in January is going to cost $30 at the county. So Jack is doing what he can to hold the rates, but it's universal. If we went back to the county, it would actually be costing us more money.
Very good history, John. That part of having an intellectual process moving forward, I'm out, because that just interferes with my thought process. But to the other point that Richard had, Richard, please understand, and we're no longer given excuses. It is what it is. This board made a conscious decision not to fill a couple of or one specific vacancy, and so. Moving forward, I don't anticipate something as big as a fiscal budget that there isn't information out ahead of time. The board accepted the process because we put priorities in certain areas, and that left the GM with little staff to work with and in a very tight timeline. The other item to understand is we have to go to the maximum dollar amounts. With that being said, it can either stay this way or get reduced. So we had to go to the max. Now comes the
We're missing you, Tim. Say that again, please.
Sounds like Obi-Wan.
It's committees. We find a little bit more once we, high as we go. Is we can't raise it after this presentation. We can lower it, we just can't raise it. So that's the reason why we go as high as we can. If you don't have anything else, move on, Tom.
That is the end of my presentation. If Amelia, you can kind of just scroll through the budget sheets that provide the detail. Again, that we're getting out of Great Plains right now, but we're working with the software to clean up the reports a little bit more fine, get them a little bit more finite into the type of service being provided and such as that. And there they are for people to look at and to comment on as the next weeks go by.
So I think a couple of things. I think this is directed towards the board members. As you have thoughts or questions, I would direct them directly to the general manager, and that can get then filtered down to the finance committee. It wouldn't surprise me if the finance committee has a couple of special committee meetings as we work through this time of year. So that process is already in place. I would just urge you, as you have thoughts, an example, a board a few years ago or the year before I got on, took $60,000 out of cameras for some study, and we still haven't put that money back. So I'm going to direct that back to the GM to have the finance committee work at where should we be on cameras. and how do we get those funds back? So that's just an example of where we need to go as board members, asking them to work through and run those numbers. So especially for this upcoming regular board meeting for this month, we'll get a very accurate update on what we think the projections will be for the fiscal year. The other comment I have real quickly is some of this might take us a couple years to achieve our goal. So keep that in mind. We don't have to be locked into reaching someplace in one fiscal period if the board's committed to getting to that number. And if it takes us, and if we have the time, meaning our capital reserve and those things, infrastructure is not given out, can we get there in a couple year period? And again, I think that has to start with the finance committee. That's all I have.
I do have another question from the public, if I may.
Sure, please.
From Gail Bullen, does this budget supplement security with property taxes? If so, how much?
I got that. And the answer is yes. For drainage, I'll go slow. For drainage, the last year we supplemented $63,000 of their budget with property taxes. This year, drainage is going to be $82,000 in property taxes, or an $18,000 increase. For security, last year it was $464,000 in general purpose property taxes, and next year it's proposed for $452,000, or a $12,000 reduction in property tax requirements.
And to add to that point, and it's a great question, Gail, when the board undertook the security question, we knew that it was going to be a multi-fiscal year process. And we're into really the first fiscal year. This what budget we're talking about is the next fiscal year, where we'll be into the security opinion poll, getting that information. So in this fiscal period coming up, the board will be making some decisions with the information we have on really which way are we going to go? Can we get a vote to the community? And then how soon, what does that cost? Or if there's no chance, then we have fiscal decisions to make from that standpoint. But again, the board understood that it was going to take a few fiscal years and still at the same cost. In this case, what Tom said, the 400 and some odd thousand cost shifting that needs to take place. Amelia, any other hands, any other questions?
None, no.
Okay, moving on to 4B. Do we need to make this in a form of a motion? Or do you just need direction given?
I need you guys, I need the board to approve for us to mail out the notice of the proposed water, sewer, and solid waste utility rate, drainage, and security special tax increases to the public.
Perfect.
And established for the public hearing.
Right. So I would like to make a motion authorizing staff to, according to the Prop 218 process, notify the taxpayers on the fiscal year 2021-2022. Do I have a second, please?
Got it, Tim. It's John.
Thank you. Amelia, roll call.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Tim. Roll call. President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Mabee. No, Director Pohl. That's the one.
Yes.
Thank you. I'm getting a little confused. That's okay.
And that's fine, Amelia. Just please keep an eye on Director Pohl. He will try and use my name. item 4C, scheduled budget hearing for May 19th. That'll be on the regular board meeting. Will obviously be a specific agendized item for that. And so we'll work on that with staff moving forward to see what that board meeting's agenda looks like from that standpoint. Moving to item five, I'm going to open this up to directors. Any thoughts, comments, suggestions? So it's opened up. Anybody?
Tim, it's John. Just for Tom and the staff for the next finance committee meeting, there's two things part of this that I'd like to really hone in on the numbers. The first is I'd really like to understand the risk. We set our rates to accommodate some of the risk in water for the potential of a DWR mandated or a governor mandated conservation. I just want to make sure we really understand that and what the impact could be if all of a sudden we're mandated at a 30% increase. I know we're going way up with water and that may handle it, but I want to be absolutely sure. And the second part of this, and Marty and I seem to be in agreement to moving money out of retained earnings. I'd like to get a cash flow analysis of operating cash that tells us, you know, basically over a 1 year or a 2 year period, what we anticipate the burn would be on retained earnings, so that we can kind of hone in on a more accurate number on what we could actually transfer over to contribute to reserves. That's it for me. Thanks.
Thank you, John. Director Butler or Janko or Pohl?
No comments from Pohl.
I'm good. I think this revenue over costs thing, I agree with John. I think to understand this whole thing and how to get whole, we need to get some projections on that, and also consider where we're going with security. I think that's I'm just thinking in my head right now, looking at the big picture, you know, the number for 10 years to achieve 100%, I don't think is a reasonable thing. Maybe 80% funding over 12 years. And I think that looking at these numbers, that might be doable, but not if we continue to fund security as we've funded it in the past. But I'm sure that when we start analyzing these numbers, we'll have a better grasp on it. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Randy. Director Butler?
I'm okay. I'm just, curious as to how this security thing is going to play out. The solid waste is not something we can do anything about. And I agree with John Merchant that going to the county is certainly not the answer. Something that we have to take our knots. Yeah.
Very good. So again, board, we've talked about these things, and more specifically what I'm talking about is we put what our number one priority is. And Randy, I agree with you. If we get the risk reward timeline down, that'll be much easier. Now, I don't know if Tom can get that for us by the next meeting, but he can get it to us when he gets it to us, and we can have it for the 19th for sure of May. John, to your question, it falls right in line there that we can adopt a policy that says just that, that we're in, you know, 10 fiscal cycles, we shall be at 80% funding. That way, as boards come and go, it doesn't get modified. The current board is dealing with issues that just the district had in front of them. So to that extent, we have a lot of options from policy standpoint that we can codify, that it's just not how they want to do it or not do it type of thing. So moving forward with staff, we can formalize those things as we need to. Tom, after hearing any of this, are there any questions, concerns, issues either you have or Paula has for what's going to be needed, getting information specifically to the finance committee, and then as the information comes available to the board members?
You know, I don't see that being a problem, Tim. I mean, getting a ton of new information together by next Tuesday might be a stretch for the next finance committee meeting, but we have a couple days in the weekend to process that. I know definitely by the time we sit down and do a deep dive into the reserve study and do some finite changes to the cycle for replacement of like pickup trucks and stuff to make sure that it's reasonable to what the association reserves is telling us, we can certainly have those numbers by then. It won't be too hard to get the numbers from say 17-18 and 18-19. The 19-20 audit is just closing up right now. And so we should be able to get those numbers, and we should be able to bring forth some recommendations that are in lockstep with what everyone's talking about. So the answer to your question is yes, I think we can do that. I don't know if we can do it by next Tuesday.
So with that being said, and I understand that, I would then, you've heard some of the priorities of the board members. And I think I would just stay focused for the finance committee folks on really what are the unknowns, and just focus on that. Because you have limited staff, again, I don't know why Paula doesn't know the budget inside and out yet. That's a whole different issue. But with that being said, if we need additional committee input, you know, we have time to do that. And the board is fully aware that the limited staff that you have. So with that being said, do not put artificial deadlines on yourself. We'll just work as we always do, diligently and responsibly, to meet. And again, if we can't get it all done, then that committee can make a decision to have another meeting before we have the April board meeting. So I feel very comfortable with that. Any other comments? Otherwise,
I do want to say Paul's been here 4 days, and she's done a great job of understanding it. She's got a lot of expertise in this field, and her learning curve is very quick. As always, Amelia holds everything together, and we couldn't have done this without Michelle and Paula and, you know, Mamie and everybody, and even Elizabeth went and brought Director Butler to the room. So this is a family that works together. And I want to say thank you to everybody. And then this is pretty much Cindy Chow's last day of work. In the next couple of days, she'll be off to her new career. And so again, staff here does a great job, and we always aim to do a better job. So we'll be on it. That's all I have.
Perfect. Thank you, Tom. And as a board, we recognize that as well. And so thank you. I'd like to make a motion, item number 6, for adjournment. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you.
Linda.
Roll call.
Director Mady.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, everybody. Tom, Paul, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Amelia.
Thanks, Tim. Have a good day.
Thanks, Michelle.